Welcome to the Open House Podcast. Conversations exploring life, faith and hope with Stephen O'Doherty.
844 million people. Just dwell on that number for a moment. That's towns, villages, whole regions. It's families. It's kids going to school. It's women at home trying to cook meals for their families. 844 million is the number of people in the world without access to clean water. And that's according to the latest report by WaterAid. WaterAid is a charity that works with other NGOs and with governments to try to redress that gap. World Water Day was the 22nd of March, and we spoke with Rosie Ween. She's the chief executive of WaterAid Australia.
In this report, we're listing some of the countries that are most off track in terms of achieving the global goals, and particularly Goal 6 of universal access to water. Also, what our report's showing, Stephen, is that there is a growing gap between the rich and the poor. So some countries overall, their access to water is good, but if we dig beneath the numbers, we're seeing that there is a big gap between the poorest and the richest people within the country.
Something very interesting is happening in the developing world, isn't it? It seems to me that as countries start to develop relationships, trade, a middle class, a business environment that's stable, it's only really affecting the urban areas. And there are many countries where you get this growing national wealth, ironically, which then starts to reduce some of the national aid that flows in. But that wealth is only in the hands of a few, and therefore the poorest of the poor continue to be so.
Absolutely. And we know, though, that we can fix these issues. And we know that focusing on ensuring that there is political leadership and that funding, as you say, going into government systems, we need to make sure, though, that there's also that focus on the poor and making sure that no one is being left out. And we've seen some really great examples where that's happening. For example, I was in Uganda, which is one of the worst three countries in the world. And there were some great examples in Kampala, the capital, of how the water utility was working to ensure that in slum areas, the poorest were able to access water. So it can be done, but as you say, there has to be that really deliberate focus on ensuring that people aren't left out.
Now, you say that Uganda is amongst the top three, but I'm staggered to realise that Papua New Guinea, our northern neighbour, and which we owe so much to because we founded them as a nation, that's also in the top three in the world of countries with the lowest access to clean water.
That's right. A staggering only 37% of people in Papua New Guinea have access to water, one of our closest neighbours. And I was lucky enough to visit Papua New Guinea and meet many of the people that don't have access to water. And particularly women are impacted when there isn't access to clean water. They need to spend a lot of time collecting water and caring for family members when they're ill, and we know that that's holding them back from achieving their full potential. We also know that WaterAid and others are working on this issue, and we need to keep our attention focused on it.
Now, can you bring to mind a family that you met? Could you describe for us what life is like for that family, that typical family in Papua New Guinea?
Absolutely. So I visited a family that lived in a rural area of Papua New Guinea on the northern coast, and I met the head of the family was actually a woman because her husband had passed away, and her name was Dorothy. She was a grandmother. She wasn't really sure how old she was, and she was looking after her four grandchildren. So her day started before the work of WaterAid and our partners. Her day started well before dawn, and she would have to make a very treacherous journey down this very steep steep hills to collect water from a water source which was contaminated because it wasn't protected, and then she'd have to carry that water back to the family and spend her day preparing food and taking care of the family. I was lucky enough to visit after WaterAid and our partners had worked there, and she said to me, her name was Dorothy Stephen, and she said to me, "Rosie, I never thought in my lifetime I would have access to clean water." But now that she had a tap close to home, she was saving so much time and energy.
The difference in the health for those families must be amazing. So there's time, there's energy, there's health, there's just... I just would encourage people to imagine what it's like living with a sort of gastric upset as the norm.
That's right. And so we know that 800 children die every day from preventable diseases such as diarrhea because they don't have access to safe water, decent toilets, and don't practice good hand washing. And as you say, those ongoing bouts of diarrhea also contribute to malnutrition, which just holds children back from achieving their full potential. So really impact on the health and wealth of a community and a nation.
I remember being in a developing country and hearing from a Mothercraft nurse in a local clinic that had been set up by a non-government organisation, who said that a woman had brought her child, her baby, to the clinic because it had solid stools. None of her other children had had solid stools, and she thought there was something wrong with it.
Oh.
It was the first child to have had access to clean water.
Yeah, so it is so powerful when you hear those really personal stories of impact. And also imagine that health centre where that woman brought her children, to imagine you taking your child there, but that health centre not having clean water and toilets. So there are people going to healthcare clinics having to take medicine that's with dirty water, or even women giving birth in healthcare clinics where the healthcare professionals can't provide quality of care. They can't wash their hands between patients. And we know that the impact on women when they give birth, studies in Africa have shown that they face a 3 times higher risk of dying in childbirth when there isn't water and sanitation.
Rosie Ween is our guest on Open House, and Rosie is the head of Water Aid here in Australia. The solutions are profoundly simple. That's the conundrum of it, the catch-22, the unfathomableness of it. So talk about some of the solutions that you and other NGOs are putting in place.
Yeah, so the solutions at a community level aren't complex, as you say, in terms of simple technology and a focus on behaviour change, but also to make these huge shifts at a national level. So for Papua New Guinea to achieve everyone everywhere having access to clean water, we absolutely know what needs to be done, and WaterAid and others are working with the government to try to achieve this. We know we need leadership. We know we need funding to go into the system and to be prioritised for water for those that are missing out. We also know that we need the capacity, the human resources. We need the engineers, the health workers, the plumbers. And we also need to be having those conversations about the world's most precious resource, water, and ensuring that it's managed responsibly. We need water for agriculture and for industry, but also we need to ensure that all citizens get access to their basic needs and their right to water.
So there are well projects. There are, for families that don't even have that, there are biological filter projects, so they can turn groundwater into clean, usable water. And importantly, there are toilet projects.
Absolutely. You're talking about one of my favourite topics, Stephen. Toilets are essential. One of the biggest issues that we have actually is faeces. So we know that a key thing that has to happen is to protect humans from the diseases that are in faeces. So we have to make sure that people use a toilet, from children right through to adults, to protect them from the transfer of disease. And as you say, it's not that complicated. We need toilets for health, but also for education. Can you imagine sending your daughter or your niece to school where there isn't a toilet, particularly when she's menstruating? We know that girls drop out of school or don't go to school when they're menstruating because there aren't toilets at their school.
Yes, that's exactly right. I visited a school just like that, and that was their story. The girls didn't come to school. When they did, by the way, the toilets that they did have before this particular project went in, the toilets just discharged into the creek behind the school. So, and then they'd, you know, that either play in it or use it for washing their hands.
So that's not good enough. We know that we really need to make sure that it's not just the physical infrastructure at the top, but that whole treatment to make sure that waste is disposed of safely so that we are getting those health benefits for everyone.
Well, worth recognising the UN global goal that everybody should have access to clean water. No one should be left behind. Gosh, it's not hard. God gave us clean water and somehow we've even managed to muck that up. So through WaterAid and others, there are ways that we can help right now. Where do people go to find out about your projects, Rosie?
Go to our website, wateraid.org.au.
Lovely. Rosie, happy Water Day week to you, and thanks for what you do.
Thank you very much.
Discover more Open House podcasts at openhousecommunity.com.au.